listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the third and final hour of Miller and Moulton. If you live in Lake City, Tampa, St. Pete, or Port Charlotte and Venice, we are halfway home for those of you in the 239. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Miss any part of the show, like the interview we just had with NHL reporter Greg Wyshynski of ESPN? Well, you can download it off of floridasportsnetwork.com. The same with our interview with Seth Everett that's coming up, and Pat Kerwin right now. Pat joining us once again to talk all things NFL, courtesy of Pinchers, from Tampa to Key West and many points in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. How are you this week?
I'm doing quite well, my friend. Paying attention to things. We're starting a breakdown of the last.
And, Pat, yeah, we're going to have to call you back because we can't even hear you on the line. So Felipe is going to disconnect and try to call you back and see if that connection's a little better with you. But
he sounds like he's like in a
underground
plane. Yeah. I just like sticking his head out the window, just checking out the windy conditions, giving us a traffic report back in the day.
All right, let's try this again. Pat, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, that's a heck of a lot better. How are you this morning, Pat?
I'm doing quite well, my friends. And as I said, I'm starting to break down the position groups for each team in the league and start with the offensive line, and we're working our way through the AFC this week and next week the NFC and on to every other position group. So it's fun. It really reveals some things, who's good, who's got depth, all that stuff. So that's the project I'm on right now. And always pay attention to the signings. This is the easy year. You start thinking about how fast these signings are in the first round. Last year, as a reminder to everyone, 7 deals were done in July. I don't think we're going to have anybody done in July. I think they'll all be done by June 15th.
Pat, you made a list of top 60 free agents when free agency began. I thought I heard you on your show here recently say that you still have half your list available. Well, if that's true, and we're in the third week of May, how come these guys aren't getting signed?
I think the clubs are trying. First of all, some of them want real money, and no one wants to do that. Secondly, the players are starting to think, maybe I'll hold out for an injury and get some leverage back in this war. And third, I think a lot of guys are trying to get through the OTAs. They're meeting every night and deciding, yeah, we like our receiver group. No, we're a receiver short. We're a running back short, whatever. Like, I do like some of the signings, Sony Michel's signing and the Lindsay signing. Those are smart signings. You never have enough running backs. Those are capable guys. But some of the other stuff, I think they're just, it's a leverage war now. And when you see Jarvis Landry take a one-year deal for $3 million when he said he wanted $20 million for one, you know where the market is.
No doubt there. I'm fascinated by your offensive line talk because this is the foundation on how you win football games. But one of the things you've instructed us on, Pat, is that when you talk about depth, the first thing I'm thinking is depth, too much depth, because that could mean players that are out there. How many rosters are we looking at that, from an offensive line standpoint, actually have enough depth?
Well, a big criteria for me when we try to rate and rank these teams is do you have a swing tackle? Do you have an inside player that can come off the bench? You have to have two of those. You're only bringing 7 linemen to games. And a lot of teams, I'm looking at, you know what starts happening? You start seeing, like yesterday during the AFC North, and you look at what's going on in Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati's front line, although there's some issues with some of the guys. Like Lyle Collins, you better get out of the penalty business. The guy is like, he's had 26 penalties in 3 years. So, but you look, who's the swing tackle there? And is he any good? And then you start wondering, should they get Riley Reiff back on the roster? Not as a starter, of course, but as a rotational left or right tackle swing man. So there's a lot of teams that are deficient in that area. And then there's teams that might have a guy to give. Cleveland has 2 guys they like, Hudson and Hance, but they also have Hubbard. So someone might be calling and saying, hey, you want to move Hubbard for a 6th or 7th round pick. So I think there's a little of that going on, too.
Pat, you mentioned the Bengals. They got a Jesse Bates situation. For those that don't know, good player, safety. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He wants to get paid. It looks like the Bengals just drafted his replacement. Pat, how do you see that working out? I mean, if the player says, I'm not going to show up, I mean, this is Mike Brown and the Bengals after all. I mean, he looked Carson Palmer straight in the face and said, retire, I don't care.
Yeah, first of it's protest season. There's no harm, no foul right now. So he's able to squawk all he wants. And I don't blame him. He's very good. And I know he does not believe his replacement was just drafted. And he knows how good he is. This is the first test of the Bengals Super Bowl running team. You've got your first guy that's going to have to get paid. And I would suggest strongly they pay him. Now, you go look at the safety contracts, and a lot of them are like 4 for 70, the top guys. I would think he deserves to be thought of in the top 10. So 4 for 60, just pay the guy. The last thing you need is for the Bengal players to go, same old team, or their agent tell them, you'll play good, but they'll never re-sign you. Jesse's too good to do that to him.
Talking with Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, NFL Radio. And Pat, once again, as you start working on these situations, you talked about OTAs. Are coaches as concerned with who's showing up with the old guys? You mentioned, trying to find, we need one more receiver, we need one more running back. Is it a matter of the OTAs, everybody being there, or is it just a matter, this almost sounds like it's coaches' time?
I think the coaches know which guys are locked to start, and they work out at home. No, Sue isn't signed, but you ask anyone who's coached Ndamukong Suh, they could care less if he shows up. He always comes to camp in great shape. He never misses a game. So I remember Bruce Arians saying, I don't care where he is. Whatever he's doing at home is better than he'd be doing here. So I do think there's some of that for sure. And it's a chance to work with the young guys. You're trying to figure out, can the young guys play? You know, is Tyler Linderbaum going to be your starter? Well, everyone says he is. Now they're finding out how much he knows. And Falele, the other kid they drafted, the big kid from Minnesota, they know Morgan Moses is not a long-term answer. The more work they work with Daniel Falele, the better they're going to be. So I think they're fine with it. But have you ever heard a coach say anything, but I only coach the guys that are here? I mean, the league figured it out years ago. Don't be confrontational about the no-shows.
Pat Kerwin, SiriusXM's NFL Radio. Pat joins us throughout the NFL season, courtesy of Pinchers, from Tampa to Key West and many points in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. If I could just go back to Jarvis Landry, you know my love for diva receivers, Pat. He signs a one-year, $3 million deal, but there's $3 million in easily achieved incentives. So let's just call it 1 for 6.
Pat? No, let's not. Let's not, because I read through those incentives. Some of them are tied to the team making the playoffs.
Well,
I used to love doing that. You know what? We'll give you some extra money if the team makes the playoffs. Where they get hairy.
Well, I'll tell you what. If the Saints don't make the playoffs, something has gone horribly wrong. I think they've got one of the top five rosters in the conference. But, okay, so that makes it even more towards my question. Were there 20 teams in the league that, when this contract gets done, turned and looked at one another and said, well, what the hell were we doing? Why didn't we sign him?
Yeah. But he when he decided to take the low ball deal, at least he sent himself home. You know, so unless your team is in Louisiana, where he's from, and he wanted to go back home for a year, you probably couldn't offer that to him. Can you get him to Seattle or some other place in the middle of nowhere? Probably not. So in his mind, I'm sure he took this on the justification. I'll go home for one season. I'm going to be with a really good group, although it's Jameis throwing to him. Good luck. That's why sometimes when they get down to that, if I was him and I was doing that deal, I would have waited. If I wanted more money, I would have waited. But I think he just said, and I used to get a guy or two to show up back in the year. Hey, you know what? I'm out with Billy Pakel. He was a very good player for the Raiders, but he was from Queens, New York. And when I called him, he said, yeah, I'll do that. And they said, well, we're a little tight on money. He said to me, you know what? I've had a bad back. Why don't you hold a signing bonus? If I make it through the season, give it to me then. That's how bad he wanted to come home and finish it out there. So sometimes you get those kind of guys.
Pat, it's May 18th, and it looks like the league's finally gotten around to talking to Deshaun Watson. I know, you know, it's an off-the-field thing, but, Pat, doesn't this have to get resolved a little more quickly? And I know the league has no need for the teams anymore, but they also have these new partners, all these casinos and all these people they're working with. At some point, does the gambling part of this speed up anything when it comes to decisions made by the league office?
You know, you'd like to think not. Look, the gambling things, we haven't posted an over-under number. We don't have any wins. All that can be resolved the day before the opener. So the league better get this right, whatever they're going to do. And I don't think they're in a rush. I think each day reveals more stuff that they got to think through about what to do. And you can always suspend them later. And look, Cleveland knew it could go down that road when they gave him that mega deal, that it might be a little bit of a backfire at first. So I don't think the league should rush into a decision for the gambling partners. There's a public image issue here that is much bigger and a bigger concern to the guys.
Very short question, Pat. Do you think they're holding on to Baker because in any way they want to see how the Watson situation plays out, or do you think they're holding on to Baker because they can't get rid of him?
I think they want something for him, and I have never heard them or anyone I know who deals with them say they're willing to pay part of that money. So how bad do you want to trade him? You want to trade him for a decent pick? You know, pick up half the bill. I had one GM said until they say they're taking half of it, we're not interested. So that's part of it. I kiddingly said on this show 2 months ago, maybe Baker will be playing for Cleveland, and I remember you reacting like laughing, Dave, but at the end of the day, when I hear guys say, well, just cut him, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You owe him 18.8 that way, and he's not available to you. He's not coming in, so he's not a problem. He's sitting at home waiting for something to happen. I guarantee his agent's been told, go try to get a deal for you and us, and he probably can't get one yet. A major injury to a starting quarterback of a team who thinks they're going to go somewhere will be the team that calls Cleveland and takes the contract.
Pat, as always, we appreciate it. Until next week, my friend, have a great one.
Thank you, fellas. Enjoy your week.
Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, NFL Radio, brought to you by Pinchers. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. We're Miller and Moulton, and you're listening right here on the Florida Sports Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Miss any part of the show, like we just talked with Pat Kerwin, last segment, Greg Wyshynski, little hockey, the segment before that. You miss any of it, well, go to floridasportsnetwork.com. Download our podcasts. You can always go to millermoulton.com. That's the backup. But if you go to floridasportsnetwork.com, you can sign up for our golf tournament. 3 weeks from Saturday, June 11th at West Bay in Estero. You can sign up as a foursome. You can sign up as a single.
Just sign up.
One guy bought a foursome. He's not even going. Wants us to give it away. We can do that. We'll do that later on down the road. So floridasportsnetwork.com. We'll feed you. There's drink. It's good camaraderie. You'll get a nice shirt out of the deal. Play a great track that's in phenomenal shape at West Bay. So 3 weeks from Saturday, floridasportsnetwork.com. Hope to see you there. Thanks to Budweiser, Twin Peaks, and Southwest Florida Golf Carts. Want more information about the carts or the e-bikes, go to flgolfcarts.com.
Couple of things here to get through. One, our poll question today, David, is very simply, which series are you more interested in, the Heat, Celtics, or Panthers? Lightning right now, about 2-1 for the hockey. But yesterday, 60% of our audience picked the Heat to win the Eastern Conference Finals. But the more important question that we hadn't got to yet is based on the rodents entering the booth at the Oakland Coliseum, what would scare you more, the rat or the possum? In very close voting, the possum basically won this by one vote.
Wow. Wow. It won by you.
I don't want to mess with a possum. I'm telling you, that thing messed you up.
I was more scared of the rat, especially the size of that sucker. Man, that looked like a New York City rat. That was a big-ass rat.
Oakland rat says, New York rat, you've got nothing on me.
No, because let's face it, they are eating in that stadium. I mean, they've been there for a while. You know, that's not a new place that, you know, Harry and the group just stumbled upon there. Harry and the boys have been hanging out in that stadium for a good decade. I mean, let's face it. They've been there longer than the Raiders were. Hello!
When they blow that thing up, what they're going to do to decrease the rodent population in and around Oakland will be fantastic.
It really will be. Heat, speaking of the Eastern Conference Finals, they won game one, 118-107. Jimmy Butler at 41. The Heat were down 8 at the half, so they outscored Boston by 25 in the third quarter. That'll get it done.
22-2 run to start the third quarter for the Heat. They never looked back from that point. Two completely different games because the Celtics shot at nearly 60% in the first half, went to the intermission with a nice lead, and watched it disappear in a nanosecond as Tatum was brilliant in the first half, was awful in the third quarter. Awful.
Butler outscored the Celtics by himself in the third quarter, 17-14. Boston played without Smart, and they played without Horford. Horford, we think, is a COVID situation. Smart is a foot injury. Kyle Lowry didn't play for the Heat. Game two tomorrow night, which will be an hour and a half after they drop the puck on game two of the Lightning and the Panthers, and Tampa Bay is the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, and they let everybody know who had forgotten that fact again last night. 4-1 Bolts, 3 in the third, 3 power play goals in the game.
One of them controversial.
Yes, which led to
the next power play goal.
Right.
The 3-1 goal was, by all accounts, goaltender interference in today's game.
Yes.
It was not called.
No.
Florida challenged the call and then received a bench minor for challenging and the call not being upheld. Therefore, they go back shorthanded. It ends up being 4-1.
Now, to be fair, we were watching the game when it was 2-1 Lightning. Let's just say they take that goal off the board. And I know the Panthers are the comeback kids and all that. It is the Lightning. And with the way that game was being played, Mark, I got to be honest. I thought that sucker was over.
Except for the extra attacker, David. The 6-on-5 throws a wrench in that. And I'm with you because all that seemed to happen in the third period was Florida would gain the zone. If they had any possession, they'd take one shot. Vasilevsky would stop said shot. Everybody would be boxed out from the front of the net. They'd chip it off the glass and say, all right, start it again. And that was if Tampa didn't leave the zone with possession. Then Florida would try to dump it in and get nothing. Tampa was perfect in the third period last night. They really and truly were.
Well, and they were perfect in the third period in Game 7 in Toronto also. It's as if they've been there and done that before. Colorado, meanwhile, has a lot to prove. They've had as much talent as seemingly anybody these last 3 years. This is their year to get to the finals out west. And, you know, Binnington tried to deny them last night. He made 51 saves for the Blues, but the Avs won it in OT 3-2 to take game one of that series. Rangers, Carolina, Battle of Alberta, Edmonton, and Calgary get underway tonight. Game one of the Western Finals in the NBA gets underway tonight. Golden State, a 5-point favorite against Luka and the Mavs.
Colorado last night in that overtime outshot St. Louis 13-0.
Right. 54 shots on net. That doesn't include all the other ones that were blocked and went wide.
Yeah, 5 posts as well, it seemed like, that wouldn't count on that number as well. So Colorado was dominant last night. I think the Blues is going to be a tough series for them, but I thought that was a big win in this sense, David. When the other team's goalie plays that well, and then you go to overtime, well, this was much like Tampa and Toronto in game 6, in which Toronto dominated the overtime, but couldn't get the goal. The difference here is Colorado dominates the overtime. They get the goal.
Think about all the things that went St. Louis's way last night. Their goaltender was amazing. They scored the first goal, and they scored with less than 3.5 minutes to go in the third to tie it and send it to overtime. And yet they still lost. That's not good. They did turn it over a lot. My guess is they'll play better in game two, but I don't know if Binnington will play any better the rest of the series. The NBA draft lottery was last night. Orlando won it on the 30th anniversary of winning the lottery, the year they ended up taking Shaq.
Problem this year is that there's no Shaquille O'Neal in the draft. In fact, there's nothing close.
We'll say this, though, Mark. Shaq, of course, amazing. Biggest mistake in franchise history, not paying him and letting him go. But he only played 5 years with the Magic. Now, took him to the finals and took him to another conference final, but he was only there 5 years. In theory, even though they're going to draft somebody who, let's hope he's half the player Shaq is, but in theory, maybe he'll play 10, 12 years for you.
I hope so. And maybe one of the players, whoever they select, and you and I are both for the Duke kid, but this is not what's considered a great draft. There is not an elite player coming out of this draft. And if they get 10 years out of them, great. I don't know what that's going to amount to.
Look, I regularly violate the Magic organization with criticism because they are just a horrible organization, in my opinion. But they would have to be idiots not to draft Banchero with the first pick.
It's funny. A lot of people last night saying the Purdue kid, you know, the Auburn kid, the Holmgren, the big fella from the Zags. Listen, we're all in agreement. We'd all take the same guy. But, hey, it's the Magic. Who knows? Yeah. Rays and Marlins both won last night. Judge hit two homers for the Yankees. But the big story in baseball, 3,640 in Oakland for the A's 5-2 win over the Twins. That's right. Second night in a row, less than 4,000.
They haven't even got to 7,000 through the first two games of the series.
It's a major league franchise with rats and possums running wild in their stadium. Seth Everett to talk rats and possums next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Last segment, 8 o'clock hour on Wednesday. That can only mean one thing. Seth Everett, Sports Woo! With Friends, Hall of Justice, Tech Stream. Keep it down over there. Follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett.
Providing your own sound effects today, I see, Seth.
I know.
You guys know Jim Capel? Jim Capel, longtime ESPN writer?
Yes, heard of him, .com, yes.
Jim Capel was sitting in a booth in Tokyo, Japan for one of the World Baseball Classic games, and they put this glass pane in front of us. We couldn't hear the crowd sound. And so he knew that we were doing a broadcast, and he would in the background go, Ichiro! Ichiro!
Come on. Are you serious?
Did it for
you
the whole did game. The, did it for the whole game.
You did the episode of MASH for real?
Yes. Oh, my God. We were dying. We were dying. Every time I'd butcher a name, he would chuckle.
By the way, the World Baseball Classic and events like that, is that one of the big misses of baseball?
Oh, it's a massive miss, and it's what I got into a shouting match with Tommy Lasorda about. The whole point of the World Baseball Classic, I like the idea of international competition. I've always been a proponent of that. But you do it like the World Championships of hockey, and you do it in October when teams that don't make the playoffs, you know, at the time, I think it was 8 teams made the playoffs. Now there's 25 teams make the playoffs.
Stop it. And 12.
And so what they used to do, my proposal was I wanted the teams that didn't make the playoffs could set rosters and then play it during the daytime when the World Series or playoffs were at night. And you'd have it. And it's at a time when people are actually paying attention to baseball. I would say to any general manager, do you want your pitchers pitching in an international competition before a 162-game season? And the answer was unequivocally no. And so I said that on the broadcast. And Tommy Lasorda was the ambassador for the thing. And he's standing behind me. And I didn't know that he'd heard everything I'd said. So we welcome him in. It's like the fourth inning. Darrell Hamilton and I are calling the first round of the World Baseball Classic. And we welcome in Tommy Lasorda. He called me a lunatic. He called me a communist. Wow. He was unpatriotic. And then 4 years later at the MLB winter meetings, I was hosting a stage show. And I doubled down on my point. Tommy Lasorda was in the back row screaming expletives at me.
Well, first off, no offense, Seth, at least 2/3 of his scouting report was right on the money. I mean, lunatic,
yeah,
check, lunatic. Yep. You know, I mean, communist. Oh, you know,
that World Baseball Classic, if you wanted to have it, you have it at the end of a season, not in the beginning of a season. And if you wanted to, you could have it in November, but then you have to set your rosters before the end of September so that the pitchers know to keep throwing.
Well, the reason why your October idea is better is November is free agency. There's no player. It's bad enough guys who, you know, contracts are up 7 days after the World Series, whether mm-hmm. or not they're going to compete in October, but their agents will totally. Not let them compete Ooh. In November.
Well, and the other side of this is that I think, you know, what you would have is you probably would have a lack of Americans playing at first until we start getting our ass kicked by countries who are going to take this more seriously. Because when it comes to these type of events, the rest of the world is much more into international competition than we are in a lot of different things. But
the hockey players can't wait to get there. Like the ones, especially if they didn't make the playoffs, they haven't played a meaningful game in months. Like they can't wait to get to those tournaments. And you could create that kind of international competition. I'm a believer in international competition in all sports. But if you're going to do it in baseball, you don't do it in March.
But Seth, you're a hockey guy and you've covered baseball for 25 years. Mark's point, hockey players love their sport more than all the other athletes love their sport. They right. don't, you know, their agents can't talk them out of competing in the world championships after they
were mad about not going
into
the Olympics.
Exactly.
This year.
Right. Ovechkin would rather have played for Russia than the Capitals in February of this year. Absolutely. He would have done it if the league would have allowed him to.
I would have used a Swiss player there, but yeah. Okay.
Right. But there's no other sport whose athletes care more about representing their country than hockey.
Than hockey players. Agreed. But the baseball aspect, I think the position players would love it. The position players, they just would love it. I think it's all about pitching. And, you know, I remember talking to multiple general managers about this and just saying, like, spring training is one thing, but having this international competition, do you remember there were pitch count limits? What? It was so stupid. Rest in peace, Tommy.
Do you think it can be revived, Seth? Do you think there's any chance for international baseball happening again?
Well, there's money to be made, so yeah, I would think. I mean, the baseball has this whole thing about globalization that, yeah, I think they could. The problem is, I think the union has figured out, you know, just what the importance of it is. And the issue I believe is baseball doesn't want to compete against itself. That's their argument. You know, their argument is October, we're barely getting a number on our playoff games. Let's just keep that. You dilute your product if you start putting superstars on, you know, the other on these countries.
There was talk
this
just
is a
yesterday.
Tangent I did not see us going.
I didn't well, either. Is,
it 4,000 people in Oakland, huh?
We'll get to it. Just there, I believe there was talk just yesterday about the World Baseball Classic now coming back next year. In theory, we're done with the pandemic. We can do this sort of thing.
Right.
That Travel, was why it got stopped in the first place. Yep. Could you answer one of the poll questions that we had earlier in the week?
Sure.
Monday night,
Cocoa Pebbles,
the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, a possum visited the Twins television booth while a rat gnawed its way through the ceiling and visited the press box where the writers were. Which would scare the you-know-what out of you more, possum or rat?
Well, I've experienced rats in the press box at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. And I got into a whole shouting match with, I've gotten into a lot of fights over the years.
There's a common denominator here, Seth. There really is.
Well, I was doing it in 2002 in the American League Championship Series. There were rats in the press box at the Metrodome. Next day, we did the show from the Metrodome, and we're talking about the rats in the press box. And Mike Herman, the PR guy from the Twins, he comes over and says, could you stop talking about the rats in the press box? And all I said was, get rid of the rats. We'll stop talking about the rats in the press box. Yeah, that was Minnesota. Rats in the press box. I've experienced that firsthand. Saw that firsthand. But Oakland, my
Did
whole
you
thing
answer
about
the question, possum or rats,
oh,
which
the rats,
would scare
the
you
rats.
More?
Oh, I thought that was answering it. The okay. rats. But in Oakland, but my question about Oakland that I always wanted to know, and nobody would ever answer this, and we're talking 20 years ago, why is the floor in the concourse always wet?
Sewage.
It was sewage. Literal sewage. You're walking in a cesspool.
Yes. They could never get it cleaned. It's the same
that
with the
place is
clubhouses.
So gross.
Yes.
That place is so disgusting. Oh, my God.
It is shocking that people still go there in droves. I mean, don't you think what the fans are doing in Oakland, I know it's not because of the Coliseum, it's because of what the team has done and selling off all the players. Don't you
no,
think
but it's partly because of the Coliseum. That place is, like the way it's situated and there's lack of shadows, like there's no shade anywhere. It's a gross place.
Any minor league parks you've been to that are worse? Because David said yesterday, he's been to all the NFL stadiums, but Heinz Field, there's nothing close to that one. I mean, I go back to the Huntington Civic Center in Huntington, West Virginia as one of the pits that I've worked in my life. But I'm just, I did minor league hockey, Seth, so I've got that on everybody. Yeah. But so it's Oakland, and then there's a canyon between that and the next worst stadium you've been to?
Yeah, and people would always talk to me, and these are not my words, but people would always talk to me about the Trop, and I was like, the Trop's a palace compared to Oakland.
Words that have never before been spoken. Quote, the Trop is a palace, unquote.
And I used to love the McNichols Arena in Denver. That was a hole. I remember
was it really?
They had me on the air when I had moved on to Seattle, and they had me on the air when McNichols Arena was imploded. And they said, what goes through your mind when you think of the implosion of McNichols Arena? And I said, I think I left my sunglasses in there. That's an old bit.
Did it work?
Seth, right. Really? Some crowd. Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice, and Tech Stream are his three terrific podcasts. You can follow Seth on Twitter at Seth_Everett. In all seriousness, though, I am very surprised that the A's in protest at some point in time in the last 10 years have not just said, we're not playing here for the rest of the year, sorry, and taken their act to Fresno, San Jose, Vegas. No, seriously. I know it would have been lawsuits and the whole deal, but when you show up for work and there's 8 inches of water and it's sewage, I think you can get out of your contract.
Yeah, but if you're paying me $10 million, I'll go to sewage. I'll walk there. I walked there. I made a hell of a lot less.
I don't know, man.
Do they end up in Vegas in your estimation?
Yes. Yeah, it's just a matter of how, because the Giants have that territorial rights where they would have to approve a move to stay in the Bay Area. And
well, not if they stay in Oakland. They don't have to approve it if the desired site,
correct,
if the A's decide to stay.
Right, but they don't want to go there. So it's, kind of the rock and the hard place.
Well, listen, all the Rays fans listening, the minute that this gets resolved, staying or going, the Rays are on the clock.
Yeah, but also, Bud Selig used to say that was one of his top priorities every year at his State of the League address. That was, 15 years ago? Manfred's not, it's not a priority.
Well, no, Manfred has said A's and Rays. We're going to get the A situation resolved first, then it's on to the Rays.
Has to be the A's first, always.
Remember.
It's an eyesore. It's an, even when they're successful, it's not charming. It's an eyesore for the sport.
Seth, there's $4 billion on hold because the Major League Baseball is thinking about $2 billion expansion fees. You don't think baseball wants this resolved? That's $4 billion that goes into 30 owners' pockets.
Absolutely.
Do the math.
Absolutely.
That's $133 million per owner that the players don't get a penny of.
Of course. Of course. You know, and so many of those teams are going to put that money right back into the ball club, right?
Like the Reds. Oh, where are you going to go?
Wow. The Reds. They're pretty brutal.
There's a lot of brutal right now in the sport. Yeah. That's another problem that isn't going to get solved anytime quickly because it's proven as a method to being
work.
Competitive.
Yep. Yep. NBA Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady on Sports with Friends this week.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he's really good. And we asked him if the NIL and the transfer portal existed, would you have gone to college? It's a great conversation. Great conversation. And, you know, the methods of why and what went into that decision and all the different things. Plus, there's about a 10-minute chunk of Tracy McGrady on the burden of being LeBron. It's a fascinating conversation. It was just very, very interesting. Tracy McGrady, I didn't know Tracy before we had it. He is starting a new one-on-one basketball league. It's his idea. They have seven cities booked, and that was, you know, how we got him on the podcast. And that was all well and good, but the conversation went on tangents, kind of like this show, went on tangents all over the place, and it was just a fascinating conversation.
All right, 30 seconds, Hall of Justice and Tech Stream.
Hall of Justice is the lovely and talented Danielle Panabaker, who plays Caitlin on and Frost on the show The Flash for all 8 seasons. That was pretty good. And Tech Stream is all about the crypto crash. Why are people losing their houses?
Well, because it crashed.
There you go.
Is it time to jump back in?
No. You wouldn't get me to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
He
sounds like gobbledygook.
Next week, you can dive into the Elon maybe backing out of the $44 billion deal.
Yeah, we did an episode 2 weeks ago, so we're going to monitor that. But all he wants to know is how many bots there are. It's all the people who follow Michael K.
Nice.
Wow.
Seth Everett.
High heat to finish,
Friends.
Seth. Well done.
Hall of Justice and Tech Stream coming off the top rope at the end. Follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett. For those in Lake City, Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, and Venice, thanks so much. The bonus hour is next. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network.